and this is Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria 91.9, KTCB Tillamook 89.5, and coastradio.org, wherever you are in the world. I am thankful for so many of you, and especially for Carol in Boudelier's Point. It is 2:59, and it is time for Arts Live and Local on a beautiful, I think we're still in autumn. It's 69 degrees. Is that right? No, that can't be right. That's what it says, but it can't be right. But it is beautiful. It's not cold, and it's actually not even raining right now. The sun is out. We had to close the curtains, so we're so glad to have you with us. And Arts Live and Local is brought to you in part by Columbia River Coffee Roaster, wholesaling fresh roasted coffees since 1992 at 279 West Marine Drive, the Old Finnish Meat Market, with Three Cups Coffee House up front, espresso, coffee, homemade baked goods, Wi-Fi, and gifts open every day. And support for Arts Live and Local comes in part from Coast Weekend, your source for arts and entertainment news in the Columbia Pacific. Published weekly in the Wednesday Chinook Observer, the Thursday Daily Astorian, and online at coastweekend.com. And I believe, yes it is, the 2016 Reader's Choice Awards are in this week's Coast Weekend. So you can get yourself a copy and vote online at coastweekend.com/readerschoice. And then you just be sure you remember which is your favorite radio station. Thanks again for being here. And I hope you all had a warm and loving Thanksgiving, however you chose to spend it, and a thoughtful Thanksgiving, thinking of the people who are struggling all over the world, including right here in North Dakota at Standing Rock. So I send this out to the people and to my Brownsmead family.
Take that long, twisty road to my former home. Knowing all my friends will be there. I've got a warm glow inside, like the sun stole. Warm my bones and heart when I get there. At the potluck, at the potluck, at the potluck, at the potluck, there's the feeling in the vault of the latest news. All the talk and laughter flow so easily, but near shoulder to shoulder's all I really want. Feel a part of something that is bigger than me. At the potluck, at the potluck, at the potluck, at the potluck, as we gather together in this special way, surrounded by my friends and family, sharing music, food, and laughter. I give thanks for the joy this brings to me. At the potluck. By my friends and family, sharing music, food, and laughter, I give thanks for the joy this brings to me. Take that long, twisty road from my former home. Though I'm leaving, I'm still thinking of my friends. It keeps that warm glow and feeling inside of me. Till next time we all meet again.
we did and danced and made music and shared. And there was the biggest crowd ever with many, many people of all generations, which was invigorating. So again, we send that out for people who are struggling right now. May they also have plenty to be thankful for, and may we be thankful that there are people putting their lives on the line for things we all believe in. That's my personal opinion, of course. Well, it's also my personal opinion that art saves lives, and I bet lots of you out there have the same idea. It's a bumper sticker, but it's way more than that, as we well know. It's the real thing. And I've had a number of guests in the recent past use that phrase without any prompting from me. So it's obvious that it affects many of us. My first guest today is Audine J. And Audine is all kinds of artist. She is a visual artist, a performance artist, a poet, and also a teacher of art. And she came up from Nehalem and was glad that the weather kind of settled down. Is that right?
Yes, it was pretty wet there.
It was pretty wet.
I think it was wet everywhere.
Okay, it was. The fields in Brownsmead are totally flooded, so
oh my,
it's
yes.
true.
Yes.
So you are called your new show that's opening on December 2nd at the NCRD in Nehalem, at the NCRD Gallery in Nehalem, Fearless Watercolors. It's an all-watercolor show.
It's an all-watercolor show, and it is a lot of large pieces. Actually, I'm probably going to fill two galleries there.
Oh, my. Wow.
And I consider myself re-emerging with this show.
Mm-hmm. Explain that, please.
Yeah, my life has taken some turns that I didn't expect, and I almost thought that I would not be continuing my career at all. And it's from health problems. Mm-hmm. And especially this year, some of it's been like not the nicest, you know, type of information I've mm-hmm. been given. And I also have lost two friends recently who were in the arts, have two other friends fighting some things. And I decided I have some energy now. I have the help of my husband who retired. And I decided to put together a show. A lot of my friends and neighbors don't even know I do some of this.
Oh, how fun.
So hopefully they'll come by.
Oh, that's great. So you said returning. So have you been making art most of your life, or what's
yes.
the background?
Yeah, I've been making art a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was when I moved to the Central Valley of California, I started to get ill. And what I did was I went to very small works. I became a jeweler, mm-hmm. and I cut and polished stones. And I felt that I had the energy to work small.
Had you been doing before? Painting?
Painting.
Or?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I consider my main interest in the work that I do is mainly as a painter.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then began doing that. So I still do some jewelry, and mm-hmm. I sell some at Rainbow Lotus.
Mm-hmm.
And I do some fiber arts, and I have work at Angelina's and T-Spot. So I still keep my hand in those things because I love them also.
And because you're a very creative person, obviously.
Yes.
You well, seem unable to walk away from it.
Yeah, I can't.
Yeah.
You know, it all started when I was 5 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I know that sounds kind of funny, but no. I was 5 years old, and my mother tells the story that I was in kindergarten, and I had done the best drawing of a bus, and they hung it up.
Ooh.
I don't remember that, but what I remember is the bunny ears. And what it was around Easter, and we all made bunny ears. And I thought maybe my bunny ears were kind of even and nice and all. Well, all the kids thought they were really good, and they all became my friend.
Ah.
And I remember that to this day,
wow.
that good feeling that I got from being creative.
And that it brought people close to you, brought yes. people into your sphere.
Yes, it
oh,
did.
Oh, nice.
What a wonderful thing, you know. I
of
mean,
course.
It was really, and I loved, I still love, you know, putting pencil to paper. Mm-hmm. And
it's interesting, though, because often we think of making art, whether it's jewelry or basketry or painting, as a solo endeavor. And yet, what inspired you at that young age was kind of bringing people into your life. So
yes,
that's
yeah. I hopped around a lot with those ears on. Yeah,
that may have
been. So did the other kids. Yeah, yes,
they enjoyed your personality as well. So, the watercolors, though, do you work in other?
Oh, I do. Too? I do. But for me, you know, watercolor is either a love hate. You know.
Love. How's that?
It's something in the beginning that's very hard to control. Mm-hmm. And my watercolor teacher said either you're going to love it or you're going to hate it. And I hated it for a long time. I really did. I struggled and struggled. And then as I learned the techniques from him, you know, when I was in art school of some control, then I started to appreciate the transparency, the flow, the almost like it's alive. That's how I kind of think of it on that paper, you know. I fell in love with it, and I do both canvases and the watercolors. But this show is watercolors.
And you also do you teach watercolor as well, or do you teach?
I'm not teaching watercolor. Mm-hmm. My health keeps me from doing some things, mm-hmm. and so my energy gets better. My energy gets worse, mm-hmm. and right now my energy is a little better. And I said, well, you know, I'm going to put this show together, and the drawing class was really enjoyable. I love it when the students go, aha, and have the aha moments. But the reason that I named the show Fearless Watercolors is because I'm a little fearful as being a re-emerging artist. And yet the way to get through that and all is I'm being fearless too. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do it, you know. Mm-hmm. And then with drawing.
Determined.
And yeah, drawing and art and all, I think there's a lot of fear involved from things that we've heard from people as we were trying to do art. My classes were mainly for beginning students, but also people who hadn't drawn for a long time and people who just wanted to learn some new techniques. Mm-hmm. And so my drawing class is not just about here's a pencil, put it on the paper. We also talk about how to overcome the fear of doing art. Mm-hmm. I'm not a psychologist, of course, but been through some of this myself and all, and have done a lot of reading and thinking about how did I overcome that? Some of it comes from getting a skill level, mm-hmm. but that, you know, some of it has to do with actually facing up to your fears and what people have said to you during your lifetime about you attempting to do art. And some people don't mean to hurt you, but sometimes they don't say the nicest things. And one has to start to, or we try to, mm-hmm. get yeah. that voice gone.
Many, many, many of us became intimidated when
yes.
we were, whether we didn't color inside the lines or we didn't make the
yes.
lines or whatever it was.
Yeah.
So I know that can be valuable. And that's for adults then.
It is for adults. Yeah. It's a college, basically a art school college mm-hmm. class.
And that's at the Hoffman, which is
not
the,
at this time.
Oh, okay. Not that's at, not happening.
Yeah. I'm
okay.
not at this time. My energy mm-hmm. level is such
right.
where I had to go one way or the other.
Right.
And I do get asked from my students when you're doing the next class, because mm-hmm. there's also the advanced class. But
right now
time,
it sounds like you put the energy into this show.
I did.
So tell us what we're going to see. For example, do you do representational art or
no,
abstract?
This is contemporary, as you can see from my flyer mm-hmm. and my cards. It's contemporary work.
Graphic.
And mm-hmm. I have there will be a 12-foot watercolor in the show. One of
12,
them.
12, I presume that's horizontal.
Long.
Right.
Yeah, 12
okay.
feet long.
Wow.
And this is why it's taken me a little while to find a space appropriate.
Do you paint on the floor or on the wall when you're painting a 12-foot
I paint on multiple tables.
Uh-huh.
But not all of my pieces are 12 feet long.
Right. But 12 feet Are they separate pieces put together?
No, it's not a triptych or anything. Okay. It's one piece. And then I have three pieces that are about the size of a door, including the one that is on the flyer and the cards. That is called Berries, and it is inspired by the forest.
Mm-hmm.
And I love living here. Mm-hmm. And the size was one of those things where, I don't know, you know, that's something that I teach my students to do. They can always go smaller later, but we always start, well, we don't start as big as these pieces, but I mean, start on the paper and work large, be bold, be fearless, you know.
There you go. There's that fearless again. Sounds good. Do you see yourself being able to sustain this? And is watercolor helpful, or could it be any medium for helping you through this, the health issues, et cetera?
I have some poems that I've done. I'm not performing at this. Mm-hmm. I have been a performance artist in the past and all in Houston. That was a long time ago, though. And, I love poetry and all, so I do some poetry. But yeah, the painting and
so are the paintings mostly geometric then, would you say?
No, they're rather organic, some of them.
Okay.
Yeah. There's some, like the piece that we're seeing, the berries, has some of this sort of geometric feel to it. Mm-hmm. But what I really like is having depth in the pieces. I like the eye to go a little bit back from where the paper plane is. That's what I try to do.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And so anyway, as far as drawing goes, though, I thought maybe if it was okay to give a couple of quick drawing tips for the people. Or are we already? Oh,
no, you got it. You got another minute. Go ahead.
The part of what begins with my class is the fact that we were taught symbols for things in school. We do the box is the house with the triangle on top, you know, that kind of thing. And what I teach is to see. Seeing is the most important part about drawing. The hand-eye coordination comes later. So in order to see what's there, you don't name what you're looking at. You just look at what's really there. And I almost always have my students take about 2 minutes to look at the thing they're going to draw before they draw it. Because I'm not teaching quick sketching. I teach how to draw what's in front of you, mm-hmm. what's really there. And so if one can get rid of the idea, and then this goes for life drawing, every kind of drawing. If you can get the symbols out of your head and not name things, you'll go into a part of your brain that sees what is actually really truly in front of you. And that's what we work on.
You know, I think we should leave it at that and think that that's a good lesson for life as well. Let's open our eyes and our hearts and our minds and see what's really there, mm-hmm. instead of jumping to labels and whether they're boxes and triangles or anything else, and making conclusions out of that. So I like it. Audine, thank you so much for coming in, and congratulations on the show. Again, this is going to open with a reception at the NCRD Gallery, that's in Nehalem, 9th Street, from 6 to 9 p.m. on December 2nd, which is a Friday.
Yes.
Okay. It's just a week away from today, actually.
Yes. Yes.
It's coming very soon. And the show will run through December.
Yes.
Will you be at the opening?
Oh, yes.
Okay, good. Good. You live in Nehalem as well?
I live in Nehalem.
Good. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Fearless Watercolors is the name of the show. And you'll get ready to do a spin for a 12-foot long painting. Just that alone is a little intimidating, but it sounds good. Audine J., the fearless artist. There you go.
Thank you.
Okay. And I wanted to play a piece of music by Holly Near for this day after Thanksgiving, and for us to be thinking about peace, which is so much in need these days. Thank you.
I like the way you look in your baggy jeans. I like the way you walk with your sassy stride. I like the way you sound when you call out my name. The way you laugh when you've got something to hide. But most of all, I like how you trust in change. And honey, darling, wonderful and true. May I say, peace becomes you. May I say, peace becomes you. The way you show up to be counted time after time. I like the way you raise your voice to put an end to war. The way you celebrate a woman in her prime. There ain't no doubt about it. I like the way you speak your
Holly Near from a very rich album called Peace Becomes You, and that was the title cut. And that's a 2012 release. And that's what we're hoping, that lots of people will embrace peace and lack of labels and all the things we need to make this world a better place. All those children dancing last night, it was very inspiring for all the adults to realize how important it is for us to make this world a better place for all of them. Well, one person who's making it a better place, who's local as could be, and that would be Heather Douglas. Hey, welcome, Heather.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Yeah. And Heather, now, did you grow up completely here, or did you
move? I did. Yeah, I was born and raised here.
You were born and raised here, right. I've known you forever, but I wasn't sure whether you were actually born here. So then Heather went away. But she couldn't stand it. She had to come back. I'll let her tell whether that's the truth. That's my interpretation. But in the meantime, she was selected as the first North Coast Writers Retreat Artist in Residence. And that's been part of what is resulting in a book called Creosote and Rain, and we're going to get her to, I got the rain part, that's easy around here, I'm not so sure about the creosote. So. And then, but also Heather is a visual artist and a teacher, and I would like you to tell us where you're at these days. What are you doing? Where did the poems come from? Did you start them long ago? And
some of the poems I started a long time ago. I tend to write poetry in my head, in the car, and wherever I am, I just write poetry. And I've been doing that since I was a kid and decided to finally put some of them on paper. I've been more inspired lately. As I've gotten older, for some reason, I feel more inclined to, like, really put things into action.
Mm-hmm. Good thinking. That's a good idea.
Having a sense of mortality is good for creativity.
Okay. I'm going to ask you the big question now. Heather, how old are you?
Almost 40.
Yeah. Okay. So she's not 80 years old. Let's get that out of your head right away.
Well,
okay.
I did read, I can't remember which, I think it was what author it was, but she started, one of the famous authors started writing when, a lot of them have started when they're in their 40s.
Oh, interesting.
So you think, you know, you get discouraged, like, oh, you know, I can't do this, but you can do anything at any age, you know.
Let's get that right out in the lights, folks. It's never too late
never.
For all kinds of things
to
make a switch. So, but you have been, when you were writing in your head, you weren't writing on the paper?
Not really. I tend to, when I go sit at my desk or in a studio, I tend to, it's like a rough draft that comes out. I hardly ever write in pieces. I compose a lot of it in my head, and then when I finally sit down, it comes out on paper. I don't know if other people do it that way, but that's just the way that I'm programmed to write.
And do you find that what comes out on paper pretty well matches what's in your head, or do you sit there and go, damn, I wish I'd written that down yesterday when it was really clear?
Well, I write lots of little tiny illegible notes to myself. Only I can read them. It's sort of like my doctor scribble, I call it.
Right.
And I write them on post-it notes. I write them on the back of envelopes. I mean, I'm always writing stuff down. I have a little notepad by my bed because I really think that things kind of fall down from the sky in pieces, and your job as an artist is to put them together, which is sometimes can be frustrating, but can be really fun too. So, yeah, I just, and then when I put it down on paper, I print it out because I was little when the internet was still coming in, and I just don't get the whole composing it all on a Word program. I have to print it out, even though it wastes paper, over and over and over again, and revise it that way. It's the only way that I can really revise it.
Do you ever write stuff longhand then?
I do, yeah. I often will write, but usually the notes are in handwriting,
right,
and then when
course.
I go to write it, it'll be on a program because I type pretty fast, so I can get it out before I lose it.
Right. So what started first, the painting and drawing or the writing? What? Because I'm never quite sure. Even when I see you month to month, I'm never quite sure.
Right.
Where you are in your art, and have you always been involved in the arts?
Just like the lady that was on right before, the guest before, I do a little bit of everything, and just I really love free thought, creativity, expression, anything that involves that, and I love seeing other people's stuff, and I like doing it myself. So I've always written, and I was inspired originally by going to the PSU Oregon Writing Festival when I was a kid.
Ah.
And so growing up here, I didn't really have a lot of opportunities in a way to interact in that that way. And so when I went to Portland and there was a lot of other kids that thought the same way as me and were into writing and poetry, we sat out on the lawn of the college and read our poems. It was really neat. And so I got inspired by that. So I've always written and loved writing, but my main thing was photography for many years.
Okay.
So I did some shows and I did some wedding photography for a while. And that was really nice. But I was always the kid in the family that was in everybody's face with the camera.
I can relate to that.
And they got used to that.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then when you went off, wasn't it Korea?
Yeah.
What were you teaching there?
I taught basically ESL or EFL, English as a Foreign Language, at a middle school, private middle school there. And went there for 1 year, right around the time the economy crashed and there wasn't a lot of opportunity, even for a substitute teacher. So I decided rather than go back to food service, which had been my comfort area for years, I decided to make a leap and go to Korea. Well, I just decided I wanted to go for a year, but ended up staying 3 years because I just love the culture so much.
So yeah. What brought you home?
Just time to come home. Mm-hmm. It's hard to explain. Mm-hmm. It was just time. But I could have stayed there. We could have stayed there, my husband and I, a lot longer. But it was just time, I guess. Mm-hmm. I can't explain
it. And you
it.
Jumped right back into the arts. Are you also teaching?
Yeah, I'm teaching language arts, yearbook, okay. And I did teach Spanish and ESL in the past. So a little bit of everything in that, too.
So do you have something from the book? Or
yeah.
Now, this show, which is, again, going to, maybe I didn't mention. I don't think I did. On December 10th, which is Art Walk in Astoria, you are going to be at the Blue Scorcher.
That's
which
right.
is on the corner of 15th and Duane. And you will be reading from your book, Creosote mm-hmm. and Rain. So where what's with the creosote?
Creosote is the chemical that they put on the docks, that kind of smell that you get. I just associate that so much with like my childhood because my mom worked at Bumblebee Cannery for a little while and we were, you know, on the docks quite a lot. And just that smell of the docks, it kind of has
okay.
that.
Okay,
know.
That works. Do you have a short poem that you
sure.
could read to us?
Yeah.
That would be great. And at the opening, you'll also have some illustrations, did I understand correctly?
Yeah, I'll have some illustrations on hand there, too.
Oh, boy. Okay, folks, we just got an announcement. On the Washington side, Sandridge Road, north of 193rd, is completely blocked. I don't know by what. It could be a tree down or an accident or water. But it is completely blocked. Travelers are urged to find an alternate route. This is sad because the Peninsula Studio Tour is going on today and tomorrow from 10 to 4. So I guess for right now, oh, that's so sad. Just remember, north of 193rd is blocked. So you can stay on Pacific Highway on the west side or just go up and then cross over. So, and when we get a new update, we will let you know. Okay, what do you have for us? This is my guest, Heather Douglas, with her new book, Creosote and Rain.
The rope. Grief is a rope, both ends unraveling. If someday ends meet in the middle, the rope turns to dust and no amount of thread will mend it.
Ooh. Wow.
It's a pretty personal book, and it spans a lot of my whole life. So there's some funny stuff in it, too. There's two sections. One is called Irreverent, and the other is called Reverent. So there's some funny. That's two parts of my personality, I think.
So people can decide what mood they're in. If
yeah.
If this gets too heavy, you
right.
can jump to the
Then you just read the front
side.
Part of the book. Don't
right.
read the end.
Right. Well, now, a lot of times people are worried about writing something too personal because family is still here, friends are still. How does that work for you?
That's one that I've learned to get over because I think that because I've been inspired by other people that have written other writers, especially locally, that have written about their personal issues. And I think about how I could inspire someone else to open up and realize that we all have problems, we all have issues, we all have like things that we have to overcome. And I think one of the best things you can do in life is to take something bad and turn into something good. And that's been kind of my mantra of mm-hmm. my life is mm-hmm. trying to take anything bad and turn it into something good somehow.
And you use it, your artistic creative talents to do that.
Yeah, I think it's everybody can do it. And it's really important. And every time somebody's been brave and opened up, it's scary. I mean, I'm already scared about the opening and the reading, but I'm still going to do it anyway.
And the good news is there'll be a lot of people who already know you and yeah. love you. And by the way, Heather, one of the things I didn't mention is Heather Douglas used to be, and she is again, a KMUN programmer.
Right, so, yeah, women's music.
Women's music. Yeah. So join our family as well. Well, I wish you the best of luck, and it's exciting to feel that you were able to use the Astoria Visual Arts North Coast Writers Retreat, the AIR, Artist in Residence, to help you.
Yeah, it's been wonderful.
Finish up this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, good. So yeah. You recommend these?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
And I hope that there's lots of people that will apply for it and get interested in it because of this.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for coming in. And, you know, I would love to have you just kind of come in and read us a poem here and there all the time.
Thanks
That'd
for having
great.
Me.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Heather Douglas of Astoria. Again, December 10th, there'll be a lot of galleries open. And this is the Blue Scorcher on 15th and Duane. One of our, who just celebrated their 10th anniversary last weekend. And they will be hosting Heather. She will be reading from her new book, Creosote and Rain. Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
And I have a tune from Lauren Sheehan, who's going to be playing at a house concert in Arch Cape on December 2nd. And you can get more information after this show. You can give me a call. Thanks for being here, folks.
With my sister Kate, everybody there thought she danced so great. I realized a thing or two when I got wise to something new. I looked at Katie, man, she was in a trance, and then I knew that it was in her dance. All the boys are going wild over sister Katie's dancing style. Oh, I wish that I could shimmy like my sister Kate. She shakes it just like jelly on a plate. Mama wanted to know last night. She said, why do all the boys treat Kate so nice? Now all the boys in our neighborhood, they know that she can shimmy and it's understood. Well, I may be late, but I'll be up to date when I can shimmy like my sister Kate. I mean shimmy, yeah, shimmy like my sister Kate.
Yeah, wish I could shimmy like my sister Kate. Well, that's the name of the song. I don't have any sisters, Kate or otherwise. But from that, we're going to go to something completely different. And then we will come back to the dancing. So do stick around. This is Coast Community Radio. And I have Dr. Denise Reed here in the studio with me. She is the director and conductor of the North Coast Chorale, which is doing a lot right now, including tonight, aren't you?
Yes, we're singing at the
Santa Lucia.
Scandinavian Santa Lucia Festival.
Right, festival.
At the high school.
Right. I say Santa Lucia as if it were Italian, which it was originally. But it's Swedish this day, and it's a delightful gathering at the high school. And so the North Coast Chorale will be singing there, performing. But Denise is really here to tell us about what's going on Sunday at 4 o'clock at the Performing Arts Center on 16th and Franklin in Astoria. What
yes,
is it?
We don't have a sign up there, but we are doing a sing-along, play-along Messiah, Handel's Messiah.
You know, I mentioned that to a friend of mine. I said something, and he said, really, the Messiah is coming here just for the North Coast Chorale? I said, you guys must be pretty important. So I said, a sing-along with the Messiah.
Right.
So.
When I did this in Canada, we had a poster that was from a picture that an artist did where he put a little person in the middle of his painting, one of the alleys in Camrose.
Oh, nice.
And that was supposed to be Handel coming
right.
to.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay. So what does that mean, a sing-along? How does that work? This
well,
is Sunday at 4
you,
o'clock.
It works that you really don't have to be an expert or be in the position of performing the piece. Just if you like to sing, and I'm sure quite a few people have sung parts of it
mm-hmm.
in college or other places, and just come along. It doesn't matter about any mistakes. Just come and sing.
How is that for unintimidating and welcoming? And if you just want to hear a beautiful rendition of a huge group of people singing the Messiah, Handel's Messiah, then you can come. You don't. Nobody's going to force you to
sing, but but we'd like for you to sing. And the reason why we can do this is because we have a marvelous accompanist, Debbie Lloyd, mm-hmm. who can carry you. Even if you make a mistake, she's right in there.
The musical and the members of the North Coast Chorale will be what situated among the people.
Yes,
or?
They are. We'd like for you to sit in your section, whichever part that you sing. But we do have soloists also who are doing a great job on some of
the
arias and recitatives in the Messiah.
Do you have the names?
Some names of some. Lorraine.
Ah, okay.
Tisna,
between the soprano.
And Janice Wall is also. And Chris Lynn Taylor.
Okay,
also,
in the alto section,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, in the alto section. Probably.
So if you don't know what your voice is, just sit. You're probably not a bass if you're a woman, but you could be a tenor or an alto or a soprano. And sit or listen for a while. You can always change seats if you need
to. That's right. You can change your part.
And there you go. This is a great way to participate in singing. And the music is absolutely gorgeous. Yes. Now, what's the connection between the Messiah and the food bank?
The food bank, every cent that we have people contribute, or the actual food containers, cans, goods, or whatever, goes to the food bank. It's a benefit for the food bank. We lend our voices, and we hope that those people who come lend their voices and also contribute to the food bank, where there is such a need during this time of year.
Mm-hmm. So they can just, they'll be contented. They can just put some money in
or a check, right?
Yeah. No credit cards, but bring your
check. Right, and since it's you can get credit write-off if you pay for it by check, so that might be a thing to think about.
Right, so this is enjoyment and doing some good for our community.
Definitely.
Yeah, and the nice thing about checks is that the money goes to the food bank, and they can, they get five times as much food as most of us can buy for the same amount
That's
of money.
That's right. And I just want to make that clear that none of the money goes to anything involved, the corral, the college, anyone. It goes all of it goes to the food bank.
So the Performing Arts Center is being used for this, and that's a very important building in our community, as most of you know. And so all of this is, it's basically community.
Yes,
it's making community.
It is, really.
And it's a beautiful way. So again, this is Sunday, this Sunday, the North Coast Chorale with a sing-along of Handel's Messiah at the Performing Arts Center, 16th and Franklin in Astoria at 4 p.m. For tonight, if you want to catch the Santa Lucia at the Astoria High School, music starts at 6:30. The actual
festival or ceremony.
Right, with the lights coming out of their heads is at 7 o'clock, and everybody is welcome. So thank you so much for coming in,
Denise. And remind people, it is a play-along, too. If you play an instrument and have played, say, the violin or whatever instrument, one of the string instruments, just come bring that along, too. We'll
for
have
Sunday.
Music for Sunday, right?
Oh, so the musician's going to be on stage?
Yes, the musicians will be on stage.
Oh, I wasn't even aware of that. So any instrument?
Any instrument. We've got a timpani, we've got a bassoon, we've got a violin or two.
That's
going to
be great.
So,
so bring your instrument and play and a flute. Great. Okay, this is, again, 4 p.m. Sunday at the Performing Arts Center in Astoria. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
I'm going to put on a little bit of music, but keep that shimmying in your head, although I don't think ballet is much of a shimmy dance. However, in our case, we're going to go ahead and ask you to join us. So have a listen. This is Yellow Roses by Giulia Michi. And we'll be right back at you.
Picture of my grandma and me standing next to a yellow rose tree planted on the day I was born. From a seed to a rose, from a rose to a three, sat a little farmhouse as cute as could be. splendid and cared, from a seed to a rose, from a rose it is shared. Yellow roses.
Such a beautiful song, and they did such a gorgeous job on that. And they were my guests on Arts, or on my folk show, I'm not remembering quite, but Dean Mueller and Julia Michi, and they call their band Julia Michi, so that was Yellow Roses. Lovely. Well, I have three roses here in front of me. They are not, well, actually, oh my gosh, they are all yellow-headed, come to think of it, sort of. More than dark, anyway. These are three of the dancers, the Little Ballet Theater dancers for the Nutcracker, which is coming up next week, Saturday, December 3rd, 2 and 7:30, and Sunday at 2. All of this at the Astoria High School auditorium. And there will be a live orchestra, which is quite fabulous to have live music for the Nutcracker. So let me introduce my guests. I don't think I've known any of them before, but I have seen them dance because I went to one of the fundraisers. Anita Barbic is here. Hi, Anita.
Hi.
And you are dancing Clara, is that right?
Yes, I am.
Okay, come a little closer to the mic there. Yeah, right there. Okay, and then I have Lillian Bigby.
Hi.
Now I see her face. Now I'm looking better. Of course, she's part of that whole Fastabin Bigby Peterson clan, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I recognize you now. Okay. And, of course, the Maddox Dance Studio is Gene Peterson, who was Gene Maddox and Gene Fastabin. It's quite the incredible career she is still involved in. I won't say she's had, because she's still very much there. And Lillian, what are you going to be doing in the Nutcracker this year?
I am a young lady. I'm the trumpeter soldier. I'm a servant, and I'm a Chinese tea.
Do you change costume for each of those?
Yes.
Holy cow. I hope they're not too close together then, because that's... Do you have dressers to help you with these costumes? Yeah. Okay, good. I'm getting a definite yes from my third guest, Andrea Harris.
Hi.
Hi, Andrea. Good Hi. To have you here. And what are you going to be doing in Nutcracker?
This year I'm an snowflake, a puppet, a Russian, the Arabian Vision, a dream fairy, and a snow angel.
Holy cow. But let's see. Anita, do you play anything other than Clara?
No, Clara's Clara the whole way through.
Okay. Because that's the biggest part.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And are there two Claras? Is there a young Clara and an older Clara? Or how does that work?
No. Halfway through, you change costume. And it's because she's in a dream. And... so it may seem like she's younger, but it just depends on who they pick for that year.
Okay. Now, am I getting mixed up, or in the past, have there been guest dancers for the Nutcracker?
There have been. We bring guest dancers in for Sugar Plum and the Cavalier,
mm-hmm.
and they are amazing.
From the Oregon Ballet?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So they'll be coming back this year as well.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So what grades are you folks in? Or how old are you? Let's put it that way.
I'm 16 and I'm a junior.
Okay.
I'm 10 and I'm in fifth grade.
And I'm 16 and I'm a sophomore.
Okay. And which schools do you go to?
I go to Seaside High School.
I go to Lewis and Clark Elementary.
Astoria High School.
I love this. It's wonderful. So have you folks all been dancing for many years?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Remember, you can't just nod your head. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I think we've all been dancing.
How old were you when you started? Let's start with you, Andrea.
I was 3 when I started dancing, so I've been dancing for 13 years.
Wow. And Lillian?
I was also 3 when I started dancing, so I've been dancing for 7 years.
Oh, I'm exhausted already. Anita?
I was 5 and...
Oh, you were ancient.
Yeah, I know, yeah. So I've been dancing for 12 years.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So do you think that... let me ask, and any one of you can answer, and then the others either butt in or just add on. Why did you start dancing? Did your parents want to get you out of the house? Were you hyperactive and they thought this would be perfect? Or did you hear this gorgeous music and see ballerinas and decide, oh my gosh, that's what I want to be?
Well, since Miss Peterson is my aunt, mm-hmm. I think my parents kind of wanted to start me in dancing, and they told me I had to go to my first dance class, and after that, they asked me if I liked it. I said yes, and I've been dancing ever since.
Mm-hmm. What do you like about it? What do you think got you?
I think...
You were 3 years old. How can you know what you want?
My teacher was really nice, and she did all of these fun activities like freeze dance and...
What's that?
It's... Well, they play the music, and you have to dance until it stops, and then if you keep dancing after it stops, you're out.
Okay, so that's the freeze.
Yeah.
Right, okay. So you really have to listen to the music, too.
Yeah.
That's a good way to get you to listen to the music. Okay. What about you, Andrea?
I started dancing when I lived in Seattle, mm-hmm. and I think it's because my sister, who's 3 years older than me, was already taking ballet classes, so... Of course, I'm her little sister. I want to be like her, so uh-huh. I started taking class, too. But here at Maddox, like, you keep going every year because it's just, like, it's such an environment to be in. You really want to be at the studio every day after school because your friends are your family and so are your teachers, and you just, it's, you love to dance, but you also love to be a part of, like, a community like that.
Great. How often do you dance? How often do you take classes?
I have class... Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, none on Friday, and then we have Nutcracker rehearsals every Saturday.
Mm-hmm. And you live in Astoria?
I don't. I live in Seaside, so I have a little bit of a drive, but it's worth it.
Wow. Of course, you're not the one driving most of the... Oh, you are driving.
I am driving.
Now you're old enough to drive, right?
Yeah.
That's a tremendous commitment, but it's...
It
sounds
is.
As though you love it.
Performances yeah. are quite the payoff for mm-hmm. all the classes.
Is that right? Yeah, it feels really good to get up there.
It's an adrenaline rush
because,
for sure.
Because the performances are, even though you're doing 3 performances, including 2 in one day, which sounds a bit exhausting, it's one weekend and then it's over. And then, but you still have each other.
Yeah, we get right back into class the next week mm-hmm. and we start working towards recital.
Okay.
So there's okay. no and, rest.
And how about you, Anita?
I...
Because you were the old one. You were all yeah. 5 years old.
I was
old.
5.
Yeah. That's how old I was when I started ballet, too. So
it's a good
But
age.
We didn't get to do performances in my era. Go ahead.
For me, my older sisters danced. I have 2 older sisters. And then a couple of my brothers danced. So it was kind of just running in my family.
Mm-hmm.
And so being there all the time... and also, I was an extremely hyper child.
Uh-huh.
And so when I was there, I was always dancing or I was always watching. And so we just decided to put me in class. And I'm not going to lie. There were times where I have not wanted to be there.
Mm-hmm.
But every year, I always go back.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's just so much love that is there. And even with the people you don't get along with, you know that they will support you. And,
wow.
like, we have such a family there.
That sounds like, a real model for what the world should be doing. You don't have to love somebody, but we need to get along and we need to help each other out and support each other. Sounds like you must be a pretty good dancer, though, Anita, if you have the role of Clara.
I can vouch for that, but Anita is.
Oh, boy.
I try really hard.
Yeah. Well, apparently your attempts have been successful. So congratulations to all 3 of you and to all the cast. Do you have any idea how many people How many girls and boys are in the...
There's 30-something in the company.
30-something in the company.
30-something in the company. And then there's a bunch of adults that come to be in the party scene as parents.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's right.
So we'll that's probably...
Stroll down the avenue.
Yeah, there, right, the prologue scene is... It's a really nice entrance.
So this is the Little Ballet Theater's version of The Nutcracker. Whether you've seen it or not, it is a joy. And the live orchestra is a real gift to the community. And the community supports it. Again, this just doesn't happen. It means all the, as far as the dancers go, the parents, the families have to be behind them in many ways. And the atmosphere, as you've heard, as I've been impressed. So how do you, are you excited about it's coming up soon? Or are you nervous? Or what do you think?
Oh, so excited.
So excited.
It's so exciting.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've ever been this excited for a performance. I'm so excited for this year. It's going to be such
Why do you think that?
I really don't know. Uh-huh. I think it's just like this year our cast has been put together so well, mm-hmm, that everyone fits their parts and we all just, it just has worked out perfectly what everyone is, and the production is just looking really beautiful.
Wow. Wow. Okay, folks, you better be there. Did you want to add something?
This year, we've changed a lot of the choreography and it's more unique this year, mm-hmm, and I really just want to skip next week and get to Saturday.
Hey, that's great. You three, I won't say to theater people, we say break a leg. I won't say that to dancers, but I wish you all the best. It's going to be gorgeous performances. Saturday the 3rd from at 2 o'clock and at 7:30, and Sunday at 2 o'clock. This is at the Astoria High School Auditorium with live orchestra, The Nutcracker. And my guests are Anita Barbic, Lillian Bigby, and Andrea Harris. Thank you so much for coming in, and thanks to Akiko for setting us up. It's a delight to see you. And
thank you for having
us. Have a blast.
Yes, okay. Thank you.
I have some things I want to tell folks are going on with a little
river, wider than a mile,
with a little
crossing you in style,
pink martini in the background
someday,
with Moon River. Today, Santa Lucia at 6:30 or 7 at the Astoria High School. Ivy and Joel Ritchie are going to be at the Sou'wester in Seaview. Saturday, they're having Mordecai and Woolen. And the Coaster Theater, Friday and Saturday, 7:30, are both sold out for It's a Wonderful Life. But Sunday at 3 o'clock, there are tickets, so you can call them at 436-1242. The Peninsula Arts Association is holding, for today it's over, but tomorrow from 10 to 4, 20 artists, 16 venues, and you'll get to see as much as possible. It's fabulous. I had Blue was on last week. Winecraft has Howley Slim tonight, and Neil tomorrow night, Sandtrap, The American West, Sandune, Erotic City, and Wednesday, Rhythm Method. Oh, they seem to be on a theme. Saturday, Troll Radio Review, folks. Don't miss it. That's KMUN's own live radio, and it's upstairs at the Fort George with Red Beans and Rice and Howley Slim. There he is again, and the Troll Radio House Band. And Christy Palooza is Saturday night at the Moose. Support our good friend Pierce Christie. Peninsula Pack is having Margot Lindbergh, one of the lasses, and Timothy Hull at 7 p.m. in Long Beach. Seaside Convention, Holiday Gift Fair. I'm going to let you go now. Sunday, don't forget the Messiah sing-along at the Pack at 4 o'clock. And the Adrift has great music, as always, and the Fort George as well. Thanks for being here, folks. KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook. Make peace. Make art and have love in your hearts.